Sunday, August 3rd, 2008. Beijing politicizing the Olympics. To most people outside of Taiwan and China, a dispute over the name of Taiwan's Olympic team might seem petty. However, the argument has underscored an elemental point. The games that open on Friday in Beijing may be the most politicized since Nazi German dictator Adolf Hitler sought to enlist the Berlin Olympics of 1936 as evidence of Aryan racial superiority. Moreover, U.S. President George W. Bush, who plans to attend the opening ceremony, will be part of that highly charged political event as the first U.S. president ever to go abroad to the Olympics. His decision has been mildly controversial. On the one hand, it gives the president an opportunity to engage Chinese leaders. On the other, it may be seen as reinforcing the oppressive rule of China's communist regime. Bush jumped into Olympic politics last week by welcoming 5 Chinese dissidents to the White House. A Chinese spokesman responded by contending the president had rudely interfered in China's internal affairs. Later, Bush told a Chinese TV interviewer, "I'm coming to China as the president and as a friend." Several weeks ago, Chinese authorities suggested that the team from Taiwan compete under the name Zhongguo Taipei or Taipei China. The proposal caused an uproar in Taiwan because that name, Zhongguo Taipei, implied that Taiwan was part of China like Hong Kong or Macau. Instead, Taiwan's leaders, Olympic Committee and press insisted that their team be called Zhonghua Taipei, Chinese Taipei. That form was devised in the 1980s when China demanded that international organizations not allow Taiwan to use its name, the Republic of China. In the argument with Beijing, Taiwan even threatened to withdraw from the Games, a warning that had teeth. Earlier, the Beijing Organizing Committee of the Olympic Games planned to have the Olympic torch carried through Taiwan on the way to Beijing. The route made it look as if Taiwan were part of China. Taiwan promptly refused. Beijing evidently decided that after being criticized for several other issues, more bad publicity would not be helpful. Although political leaders, Olympic committees, and athletes everywhere have decried efforts to embroil the Olympics in politics, that has often been the case, and none more so than in China now. Orville Schell, a China specialist writing in Newsweek, said that the Beijing Olympics were intended to mark the emergence of China from its national inferiority complex that began with its defeat by Britain in the Opium War of 1839 to 1842. This was followed by a period when the Chinese melon was sliced up by Britain, France, Germany, Russia, Portugal, the US, and Japan. Today, Chinese constantly remind themselves that they come from a nation with a 5,000-year history and contend that their nation is entitled the respect of a global leader. Perhaps the Olympics are that first step in the Chinese saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step in ending centuries of the Chinese sense of inferiority. China appears bent on regaining its place as the Middle Kingdom, a concept formed in the Han Dynasty, 206 BC to 220 AD. In that scheme, China is the center of the world and its neighbors are vassals who pay court and make no move of consequence without Beijing's permission. Other nations, particularly those in the West, are barbarians to be fended off. Politicizing the Olympics has a long history. Tokyo, in their first games in Asia, marked Japan's recovery from World War II. The lad who lit the Olympic flame had been born in Hiroshima the day it was hit with the first atomic bomb. The 1972 Olympics in Munich saw Palestinian terrorists kill 11 Israelis. The U.S. boycotted the 1980 Games in Moscow to condemn the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. In revenge, the Soviet Union and its 14 satellites boycotted the Los Angeles Games in 1984. South Korea turned the 1988 Olympics into a showcase for its economic achievements. Another terrorist attack took one life and injured 110 others in Atlanta in 1996. Sometimes, however, Olympic politics backfires. Hitler had his vaunted Aryan superiority thrown in his face by a U.S. sprinter and long jumper named Jesse Owens, who won 4 gold medals in the Berlin Olympics. Commentary by Taiwan February 28th Movement Net Radio. Making statements, making histories. The history of the Olympic Games is full of boycotts. To call such actions politicizing the Games may not be fully accurate. We at Dadi Cultural and Educational Foundation and Taiwan February 28th Movement Net Radio would like to point out that many of these boycotts are justified. They were carried out in order to make a statement about democracy and equality. The ancient Greeks, who conceived the Olympics and who were also pioneers of democracy and democratic ideology, might actually be proud of such actions. Examining the boycotts with the benefits of hindsight, some did make powerful avant-garde statements. For example, in the first Olympics to be boycotted, the 1956 Melbourne game, the Netherlands, Spain, and Switzerland refused to participate in protest of the Soviet repression of Hungarian uprising. Who would have known that about three decades later, the US President Ronald Reagan would call the Soviet Union the evil empire, and that the dissolution of USSR in 1991 would be celebrated by the whole world as the beginning of a new peaceful era with the end of Cold War and flourishing of democracy and freedom in Eastern Europe. In the same year's Olympics boycott, the world also witnessed the attempt to resist imperial rule and aggression. Cambodia, Egypt, Iraq, and Lebanon also refused participating in the Melbourne game to protest joint military attack on Egypt for the country's decision to nationalize the Suez Canal after Britain and the United States withdrew their funding to build the Aswan Dam. The four former French colonies' resistance against the joint military attack carried out by Britain, France, and Israel proved to be effective in ending the British and French imperialism in Middle East and Southeast Asia. The Suez Crisis of 1956 turned out to be the last British military expedition abroad without the US assistance. Then there is the African well-known struggle against apartheid. A large number of African countries threatened to boycott the 1972 and 1976 Games to force the International Olympic Committee, IOC, to ban South Africa, Rhodesia, and New Zealand. Since then, the issue of racial equality gained further momentum, especially within the United States. We, the Taiwanese people, certainly took our part in making a statement in the history of Olympic Games. In resistance against PRC's pressure to undermine our sovereignty, we boycotted the 1976 and 1980 Games. In contrast to Richard Helleron's article title, "See Beijing Politicizing the Olympics," we at Da Di and the Taiwan February 28th Movement Net Radio never see the aforementioned Olympic Games boycotts as politicizing or even political. They are about human rights, about international peace, and about racial equality. All are noble causes of humanity and well-accepted ideologies among civilized societies. My friends, we are making histories again. In the face of a dominant authoritarian regime, namely the People's Republic of China, we at Taiwan is called to our historical duty to make strong statements against human rights oppression. It is time to make strong, worthy, and noble statements. We invite you to speak up against PRC and against the China supplicant KMT administration in Taiwan at tati@tiwant.org.tw. Support democracy. Support Taiwan's sovereignty. Support human rights in the Republic of Taiwan and the People's Republic of China.